The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Hi, this is Jerry from Remnant. Let's be honest, this life can be hectic, draining, and downright confusing. My hope is that by listening to this message, your life can be impacted by God's great love for you, and His love will give you wisdom, courage, and strength. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jerry Godsey.
The swing of things. All right, here you are. Morning. Good to see you today. Thank you for being here. Let's pray. God, thanks. You're so good to us, Father. I pray that you'll open our hearts. God, that my words would be your words, that we would be ready to receive from you. Thanks. Amen. Most of you know me, some of you may not. I'm Jerry Godsey. I was one of the first guys here at Remnant. In fact, I preached the very first message at Remnant when we started. I worked for the sheriff's office at the time. I ran the crime scene unit. So I may be the only pastor in America that's processed a vehicle at 6 a.m. for evidence and then started a brand new church at 11 on the same Sunday. If not, it's a pretty small sample size. Before we actually begin the message, I'm going to tell you a little bit. In a lot of ways, I'm not the same person that left here 4 years ago. A lot of things have changed in my life, in my heart. I have been humbled. I've been broken. We did a sermon series here called Beautifully Broken, about the art of kintsugi, the Japanese art, where a piece of pottery is broken and then mended by putting it back together with gold. And it's considered more beautiful because it was broken and restored. I'd like to think, I'm not going to tell you I'm more beautiful because you can look over here and say, well, no, you're not. Or if I am more beautiful, ooh, it was bad to begin with. But I have been broken. I have been changed in a lot of ways. And I have learned about God's grace, His restoring grace. He takes us when we're at our worst. And He puts us back together. And we're better because of it. So, I'm different. I mean, in a lot of ways, I'm still the same knucklehead I was when I left. But maybe just a little bit different of a knucklehead. Let's get going. Today's message is thankful for cheese. Oh, it's not there. Jeremiah put this in his message last week, and I liked it, so I stole it. I'm good at that. Gratitude isn't just for the big moments. It's cultivated by noticing and appreciating the simple, cheesy blessings that fill our everyday lives. I got to tell you, I hate Thanksgiving messages because they're cheesy. They really are. They just, you know, we should be thankful for God. Be thankful for Jesus. Okay. I wrote this a few years ago. And this is a true story, by the way. This is where cheesy things comes from. Some of you have been wondering, well, here it comes. We all sat around my mom's living room, a veritable feast just beyond the edge of the carpet. So close and yet so far away. The smell of turkey, stuffing, my mom's special white salad. She's passed on since, and the recipe for white salad went with her. All the other Thanksgiving stuff just wafts through the room, causing an involuntary growl to come from my cavernous insides. I looked around and waited for my grandpa to begin praying, which was normally the way it worked. And then it happened. hush fell over the room. My mom said, before we eat, no, no, that's not right. Before we eat, I'm going to light this candle and pass it around the room. When it gets to you, tell everyone what you're thankful for. I stifled a groan. My brain cried out, what? A candle? I want to eat! Instead, I stood silently as my aunts, my cousins, uncles, and various other family members and friends took all the good things to be thankful for. How many times can you look around the room and say, I'm thankful for my family, knowing full well that you grumbled about them all the way over in the car? People were thankful for their families, for their jobs, for their pets, their salvation, for God's blessings. Now, those are all good things. But I had nothing left to say. Everybody else had taken all the good stuff. So I kind of panicked. And I'm a lot of a smart aleck. So they hand me the candle, wax dripping all over my fingers. I'm looking down at this forest fire waiting for a place to happen. And I say, I'm thankful for cheese. And my mom looked at me. And I knew that look. I'd seen it since I was a little kid. We would be sitting away from her in church and cutting up or something, and we'd get that look. She would chew on the inside of her lip right here. That meant the chunkla was about to come out. We didn't call that chunkla back then. We just called it the shoe. But she was going to lay hands on us and forget to pray. So my mom gave me that look. And I handed the candle. Unfortunately, my son Christopher Critter was sitting next to me. And I handed the candle to Critter, hoping maybe he would bail me out by saying something intelligent. No. Critter said, I too am thankful for cheese. I kicked him in the shin. But I smiled from ear to ear because he's his father's son. This year, when you get handed the candle, what will you be thankful for? Yeah, you can be thankful for cheese, but don't blame it on me if you say it and get in trouble, because that's all on you now. But we will say all kinds, we will say the normal stuff. I'm thankful for my faith, I'm thankful for my family, I'm thankful for my job, I'm thankful for whatever. But we give those quick little Sunday school answers. You know what a Sunday school answer is? It's something you just say without even thinking about it. You just say it because you see it there. I'm thankful for Jesus. All right, good. What does that mean? I'm thankful for my family. All of them? Even the cousin over there that you can't stand? Max Lucado said, oh, there it is. I got it in the wrong order. Sorry about that. Just a well-oiled machine. Gratitude lifts our eyes off of the things we lack so we might see the blessings we possess. I like that quote. Feeling gratitude takes our eyes off the things we don't have, makes us focus on the things we do. Look, every one of us could give a laundry list of the things we don't have, right? I don't have hair. I don't have good knees. But what about the blessings I do have? God's been so good to me. So this morning I want to unpack what each one of these things is. When we say we're thankful for family, what does that mean? So let's get into it. Thankful for family. Around my fictitious table, somebody will inevitably say, I'm thankful for my family. And then look around the room like, you're all loved. Shut up. When we start, though, we start as a baby. Somebody's got to feed us. Somebody's got to make sure that the water temperature of the bath is just right. They change our diaper. They make sure we get to bed on time. All these things. We're a baby. We're totally dependent on the people around us. Mom's will rub our tears, hold us and cuddle us. And you know what? We're thankful. Then we grow up a little. We needed somebody to put limits on how we could explore the world safely. You play in the yard, but don't play in the street. Don't become a hood ornament. We needed someone to put training wheels on our bikes so we didn't fall off. We needed someone to sit at the bench at the park while we played. We needed somebody to watch over us, wipe the dirt off our knees. And when I was a kid, you young kids, you got no idea about this. When I was a kid, if you fell and skinned your knee, you got mercurochrome. It was this red iodine stuff that was formed in the pits of hell. I would hide cuts from my mom because I didn't want mercurochrome on me. Because I don't care how bad the cut hurt, that stuff would hurt worse. We need someone to read us books, still get our bath ready, tuck us in at night, play games with us, and have us do chores. And we're thankful. And we grew up a little bit more, and we went to school. We needed someone to pack our lunch, help us figure out our homework. Some of you. I sent a note home one time when I was teaching school at Faith Academy, asking a dad to quit helping his kid with his homework because the kid was smarter than the dad was in a lot of ways. And the kid knew the answer, and the dad was talking him out of the correct answers. Like, maybe you don't help him on this one. Maybe sit this one out, Sparky. We needed somebody to drive us to football practice and baseball practice and go sit in the stands during our games and yell for us. And you know what? We're thankful. Then we become teenagers. And now we start to reroute the boundaries. Now we're becoming a little independent. And we got to show who we are. We got to show mom and dad that, yeah, well, I know more than you do. Dad just looks at you and says, not quite so much. And there's tension. As a parent, you start feeling your grip on your child pulling away. They're not your little baby anymore. You don't tuck your 16-year-old kid into bed at night. If you do, there's a problem. Sometimes these times of transition are challenging. But we know we're loved. And we're thankful. Then we strike out on our own. We start exploring the world around us. Now we're in charge. After a little while, you realize maybe it wasn't so much fun being in charge. Being a young adult has a lot of problems that come along with it. Back when you were 16 years old, you knew everything. Get to 23 and you think, I don't even know the questions, let alone the answers. Some people get married. They have the families of their own. Now they've kind of moved off. They've started their own little tribe. Sometimes that doesn't work out. Maybe people don't get married. They have friends they bring around them. We're going to talk about friends quite a bit in a minute. But you grow. The people that you draw in close to your circle, they become like family. And you know what? You're thankful. Then you get old. This is the oldest I've ever been. I just turned 75. I look good for 75. Problem is I'm 67. I look road hard and put away wet for 67, but I look good for 75. Somebody said, act your age. I said, I don't know how. I've never been this age before. This is all new to me. I'm making it up as I go along. As you get older, your family, once again, help you through the transition. They've got their families now, and things change in that relationship. I've got one son in San Diego, one in New York City. things change. But through it all, you recognize what really matters, and that's family. I was driving in today, and I texted Critter on my way in. Just said, thinking of you, man. Would you know I love you? Undergirding all of these changes and all of our life schedules and our life changings, regardless of what our experiences of joy and loss, brokenness and wholeness, present state of peace and comfort, or of volatility, what we mean when we say we're thankful for my family is this. We're deeply grateful for those around us that put love in action towards us, that are there through the struggle and the joy, who meet our needs and whose needs we are privileged to help meet. This is what family is. You may not like all your family. You may have that one cousin that, yeah. But he's family. And you need to love him. You might have an uncle. Every family's got a drunkle, let's be honest. We're thankful to God. Psalm 68, 5 and 6 says, Father to the fatherless, defender of widows, this is God whose dwelling is holy. Love this. God places the lonely in families. He sets the prisoners free and gives them joy. God places the lonely in families. This church is your family. You have no idea how much I've missed this. Not preaching, although I did miss preaching. Being here, being amongst friends who I love more than anything. So let's talk about our friends. What does it mean to have friends? These are people who we choose to be in relationship with us. Right? These are people that become, I said earlier, our tribe. These are our buddies. These are the people we hang out with. You go to coffee shops, 3 o'clock in the morning because you're bored. When I was in college, That was prime study time, 2 o'clock in the morning at the bagel shop or at Denny's. We're thankful for the people who we come to know as equals, as peers, who saw in us and we saw in them something mutually attractive and enjoyable. When we first started Remnant, I knew Jeremiah a little bit. I didn't know him well. But I can say over the years of Remnant, he's become one of my closest friends. He's part of my tribe, whether he wants to be or not. This week, we were going back and forth about Christmas series. And I know he was doing what I was doing. I was laughing like crazy in Yuma as we're talking about these crazy ideas. Like, what about this? Yeah, let's do that. And I told him one point, man, I missed this. The problem with Remnant is the same now as it always has been. And that's that there's no adult leadership. It's just me and Jeremiah, and we don't count as adults. We're just old. I'm old. He's almost as old. Think about it. Our friends cure our loneliness. They walk through life with us. If you didn't have any friends, your life would be lonely. One of the things that's happened over my life, and I hope she's watching there in Georgia, a lady named Wendy at Gettysburg Farm, she really pushed me to come outside my envelope. Here's what's weird about me. Well, okay, here's one of the things that's weird about me. Let's be honest, the list is long and not very distinguished. I can share my guts in front of all you like this. Get me in a situation where it's one-on-one, and that's harder for me. Small groups, that's hard for me. I don't know why. It's just part of the wonderfulness of Jerry Godsey. No. But she pushed me to open myself up. So when I was walking Winston on his, well, he checks his P-mail. You'll get that later. You wake up. P-mail, it's so funny. Anyway, I would put in my AirPods and listen to a podcast or music or something while I was walking Winston. And I'm walking through a campground full of people that know me, but I was just in my own little world. And she told me once, you need to stop that. You need to interact with the people that are here. And she was bully enough to make me do it, so I did it. And I started enjoying interacting with those people. I started enjoying being around people and letting them actually know me. And you need a friend that will do that for you. You need a friend that will push you beyond your limits. You need a friend that will call you on the carpet when you need to be called on the carpet. You need a friend that will put their arm around you when you're hurting. That'll laugh with you in the good times, cry with you in the bad. That's what friends are. Otherwise, they're just acquaintances. They're just people you know. But the people who will get down in the mud with you when you're hurting, those are friends. Proverbs 27, 9 and 10, the heartfelt counsel of a friend is as sweet as perfume and incense. Never abandon a friend, either yours or your father's. When disaster strikes, you won't have to ask your brother for assistance. It's better to go to a neighbor than to a brother who lives far away. Proverbs 27, 17, as iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. We're better together. Quit being the Lone Ranger. And I say that as one who has been the Lone Ranger for a long time. Thankful for health. A lot of people say, oh, I'm thankful for health. And look, I've got torn discs in my back. I've got bum knees. But I feel good. I'm thankful for health because, look, it could be a lot worse. I was in Pennsylvania at the laundromat. Hallelujah. My new house, I have a washer and dryer. No more quarters. Hallelujah. And I'm talking to this guy, and we're talking back and forth, and I'm thinking, this guy's got to be in his 70s. He's 80. He was younger than me. He was just broken down. And I literally, at that point, thought, God, thank you for what you've given me. I'll take it. By the way, everybody here has health. You know that, right? You're breathing. That's a good sign. Your lungs are working. Your heart's pumping. You may have a little device that helps it, but, you know, you're alive. We have senses that enable us to experience the world, to feel the touch of a loved one, to see beauty, to smell and taste the Thanksgiving feast. Our health is important, and we can be thankful for our health. But just understand, when you're thankful for your health, it needs to be for the fact that God has blessed you to give you another day of life. God's blessed you. Now, look, I keep forgetting to do that. There's a guy, he's got good news from the doctor. Oh, thank you. These are all AI. It's great. These things don't always work perfectly, but we remain thankful to God. I told you, I got bum knees. I didn't have to, but I did last night. I was working last night at the campground, and I took out the hula hoe, and I was weeding. And about 15 minutes of hula hoe is a long time. And my back was hurting. Oh, and I remember this message. And I was about to gripe about how bad my back hurt. I thought, no, God, thank you. Thank you for my health. Thank you that I was able to go hula ho in the first place. Thank you that I'll never do it again. Psalm 139, 13 and 14. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. The very first time I did it, I went to an autopsy for the sheriff's office. Yeah, you watch them on TV, but it's not the same as actually being there for it. Two things happened. I'll tell you the funny part first. The day before, they'd given me a mask that had charcoal filters on it. And so other people had it. So I wrote Godsey on the bottom in a black magic marker in the neoprene. The next day, as they're doing the autopsy, there's a place where they cut open the skull. And we have to leave the room because there's dust that has bacteria and stuff in it. I guess the guy that has to do the cutting, I guess he's like expendable because he has to be in the room. He has the same mask I had. So I leave the room. Instead of taking the mask all the way off, I put it on my forehead. Went back in, took photos. And as I'm taking the photos, the coroner sergeant and the investigation sergeant looked at me, sort of looking at me like a dog watches television. So what are you guys doing? The investigator said, Godsey, who wrote on your forehead? I said, nobody. I mean, I knew I was kind of freaked out about doing my first autopsy. I wasn't sure how it was going to go, but I wasn't so freaked out that I wouldn't have noticed that somebody wrote on my forehead. I think I would remember that. So they took a picture of me. We looked in the screen of the digital camera. It was Godsey upside down and backwards. What I found out that day is that black magic marker does not dry out in those neoprene masks. The coroner sergeant, Charlie, took a picture and he says, I guarantee you this is going to show up multiple times during your career. And it did. But what struck me, other than the fact that I had writing on my forehead, was I'm amazed we don't die all the time. Just like stepping on a Lego should kill us. Everything inside of us is just so weirdly packaged and vulnerable. Like your liver's just like out there in the open. Your spleen, just like just hanging around somewhere. I'm like, how do we not die? Somebody elbows us, you know, in Albertsons. How do we not die from that? We're fearfully and wonderfully made. God put us all together and somehow he made us so we don't die. Because I can think of a lot of things that should have killed me as a kid. A lot of things. Finally, we're thankful for our salvation. This is where all the people that are holy, when they pass around the candle, I'm thankful for the blood of Jesus Christ. Okay. But you know what? It's true. Imagine this. Your life was on a collision course with death and destruction. Before Jesus, you were on a collision course with death and destruction. Not just physically, but spiritually, emotionally. And you were hurtling down the road at a high rate of speed. And then Jesus comes into your life, and things change. Where before we were headed for death and destruction, now we're headed for peace and wholeness and God's grace. Long before we needed a Savior, God sent Jesus to die on the cross for us. The one time I remembered it was the wrong one. You weren't even thought of when Jesus died on the cross for you. Imagine that. Somewhere in the vastness of eternity, God said, I'm going to send my son because this bald-headed guy named Jerry is going to need a savior. He can't save himself. He's dumber than a sack of hammers, so I got to do something to help him. And he sent his son to die on the cross for me. Now, before you get too high and mighty, put your name in there too. Because we are all spiritually dumb as hammers. And yet Jesus came and died so that we could have eternal life. What made me worthy for Jesus to die for me? Nothing. What made you worthy? Nothing. So why did it happen? This is how God loved the world. He gave his own one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. I want you to change this a little bit with me, will you? For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son so that Jerry Godsey would believe in him and not perish and have eternal life. Because we get caught up in the corporate we. Yes, the Lord came to die for everyone. Hallelujah. No, no. He came to die for you. So read it that way. God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son so that your name here will believe in him and not perish but have eternal life. That's who God is. When we say we're thankful for salvation, we're thankful for our Father, for God, this is what it means. That he sent his one and only Son to die for me. Yes, you all are included too, but he came for me. You guys are just like added in. Ephesians 2. God saved you by his grace when you believed. You can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we've done, so none of us can boast about it. For I love this, we are God's masterpiece. He's created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. We are God's masterpiece. You are God's masterpiece. And a long time ago, he planned the good things that you were going to do. If that doesn't blow your mind, it'll sprain your brain. Think about it. What good things has God planned for you to do? And don't tell me you're too late. Well, you know, Jerry, I'm old and retired and I can't do anything. You know my favorite Greek word for that? Baloney. You may not be Greek. Come on. Don't tell me you're too old, too young, too this, too that. God planned for you to do good things a long time ago. And he didn't say, well, you know, if they don't do this by the time they're 35, then it's just over with. If I believed that, I'd just curl up and die somewhere. I still got stuff to do. I still got fuel in the tank. I'm burning. I was walking around back there like a caged animal. Why? Because I want to give. I want to share a message. I want to share what God put in my heart. I want to be a blessing. Who are you going to be a blessing to? What has God laid in your heart? What is God asking you to do that maybe nobody else on the planet can do but you? Quit making excuses. God planned a long time ago for you to do great things. And it doesn't mean preaching. It doesn't have to mean preaching. It might. It could mean being the person that comes help set up chairs. Or the one who puts together meals. Hopefully there's no kale salad today. I was going to tell you that story, but I'll tell you another time. Trust me, I got in trouble for talking about kale salad once. I get in trouble a lot. Like our family, our friends, our health, it's easy to forget to be thankful for salvation. But you should never lose sight of the fact that Jesus dying for you is undeserved, unmerited, and priceless. You can't buy family. You can't buy true friends. Nor can you buy salvation. It's a gift from God. So, no matter your station in life today, Thanksgiving rolls around when the candle gets, and please, if you're organizing your family's Thanksgiving thing, don't do the candle thing and say, Jerry said this was a good idea. It is not a good idea. Or if you do it after lunch. That way some people are sleeping already. When you say you're thankful for your family, know what that means. You say you're thankful for your health, know what that means. When you say you're thankful for salvation, know what that means. And if you're thankful for cheese, say it. Let's pray. God, thanks. You're so good to us, God. You love us so much. And God, it's easy to forget to be thankful. We get so caught up in all the things we don't have, we forget about the things we do have. God, forgive us for that. Make us aware of you. Thank you, God. Your head's bowed and your eyes closed. I just want to give you a chance to really think about what you're thankful for. Secondly, if you're here or you're watching this on YouTube and you can't be thankful for salvation because you've never really experienced it, now's the time. And it's so simple. Acknowledge the fact that Christ died on the cross for you. And just say, thank you for dying for me. I want to live for you. God, come into my life and make me new. Make me whole. And if you're hurting today in one of the areas we talked about, give that to God. God, bring wholeness to my family. Bring wholeness to my health, the people around me. God, please show me your love. God, you're so good to us. We don't deserve any of this, but you give it to us freely. Thanks, Father. Thanks, Father. We love you, God. Amen. When I tell you that I love you this morning, you have no idea what the depth of emotion that I mean. Thank you.
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us online at remnantchurchiv.com. You built a mighty fortress.